We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/BlueWire. Just go to Indeed.com/BlueWire right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/BlueWire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
It's only a kick, a jump, a block, it's only a serve, it's only a tackle, a run, it's only for the fans. After all, it's only pressure. You got this. Adidas.
What's going on, Bulls Nation? Welcome into the CHGO Bulls Podcast. Coming to you live from our studios here at West Loop, downtown Chicago. I'm Peck. You can follow me on Twitter at Bulls_Peck. Joined by my guys, Big Dave. BAWL Sports. And traveling man back from Nashville, back from Milwaukee. Will the Go Gottlieb in studio with us. Will_Gottlieb. We are CHGO_Bulls. Our pal producer, Joey Spavis.
One's
rocking
two.
The controls.
We see you, shirtless Wanda.
Shirtless Wanda.
We see you.
We see you. Oh, looking glorious.
In your face.
How great is it that it's October and he can still be the shirtless wonder right now?
I was wearing a sweatshirt and a coat outside. This man is wearing no shirt.
No shirt.
Absolute respect.
Respect him, man. That's all you
have to respect it.
He is a legend.
Shout out to Jeff in the comments. He said, great to catch you all live. Nice new opening music. So we have so much.
See, there you go. I told you. Yeah, man.
New music. Shout out to Cassie as well. Thanks for hanging out, everybody. A few things to get to before we dive into our Bulls topics for today. First and foremost, I am rocking the 98C shirt. For a reason.
Yes.
The Connor Bedard era starts tonight. Y'all.
Tonight.
Our CHGO Blackhawks crew is down in Pittsburgh for the season opener. They have pregame and postgame for y'all tonight right here on our CHGO Sports YouTube channel. 6:30 pregame and then postgame to follow. I am so ready for some hockey.
What do you want
to
see in that
Let's
game,
do
man?
That.
I want to see a Connor Bedard hat trick.
Hat trick.
Because I'm a selfish mofo.
That's not selfish. That's awesome.
Well, you know, it's maybe asking a bit much.
We need the soundbite of SpongeBob going, future. But you guys don't. You don't get that reference.
No, sorry. I was in college when SpongeBob was popular with the kids.
It's for the Gen Z folk out there.
They still were watching it. People in college were definitely watching SpongeBob.
Yeah, Dave's nephew was watching SpongeBob when I was.
Oh, man. I was watching SpongeBob.
Alexandra in the comments said, nothing like a CSU Bulls pod while waiting for a 1 a.m. Hawks game. Yes.
Hey,
kudos to you.
Out.
Wherever you are, where it's going to be 1 a.m. when the puck drops.
That is
it
correct.
Is. Portugal.
I like how you put the whole stank on that, Lawrence. Good job, man.
Get the bang.
Yes.
Yeah. So also, speaking of our Hawks crew doing pre and post tonight, make sure you're subscribed so you get alerts when we go live by subscribing to the CHGO Sports YouTube channel. Y'all, we are just about 500 away from 40,000 subscribers to our CHGO Sports YouTube channel. Shout out to everybody who's already subscribed.
Seriously.
Tell your fam. Tell your friends.
Keep coming.
Become a subscriber. Welcome home, Goat.
Thank you.
How was Nashville?
Nashville's good, man. It was busy.
Mm-hmm.
Bless you,
Joe. I kind of forgot that that practice is a lot of work, you know?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. You mean for you, work? The reporter, or for the players practicing?
Good question.
Well, yes, but also yes. but yeah, I mean, it kind of came up quick. Like, I feel like last year to start the season, it was like a big moment. Like, all right, we're back.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And now this year, for some reason, it was just like, we're in practices. It's happening. It's already started to happen. But it was really good. Got to hang out with some of the other beat writers. Mm-hmm. Waited around for practices to end for a long time. Today they went 3 hours, guys. Mm. It was a long practice.
A 3 hour practice. A 3 hour practice.
What's that from, Joey?
No clue.
I also don't have a clue, so I'm with you on that one, Joe.
It's Gilligan's Island, sir.
But yeah, the PR staff was great in Nashville. They allowed us to have some really good access. We were able to like sit down with, for me, it was Patrick and Vooch for like 10, 15 minutes talking with those guys. Mm-hmm. Got some really good stories out of it. And then, yeah, just hanging out, getting to explore the city a little bit. It was very cool. Not an NBA city, so I'd never been there before.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
Hattie B's chicken place down there. Fine. Everybody loves it. That was very good. A little bit overrated.
A little bit.
Not to be overrated when you have a name.
Oh,
like
long
that.
Line? Yeah.
It took me like 30 minutes to get in that.
What'd
place.
You get, Will?
That's absurd.
Hot chicken?
Hot chicken.
Pickles on there?
Nashville hot chicken. You got to get it.
Nashville
well,
hot.
You know, there's levels of hot. I'm asking, like, you know, did you go with their hottest hot?
So there's like a mild, medium hot, and then there's like a separate scale for extremely hot.
Mm-hmm.
I just went with the normal hot.
That sounds like
it was
weird.
Good.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, when you get Nashville hot as an option in Chicago, I rock with that a lot. Like, I don't know if you guys know Roost Chicken. Chicken's Nashville hot is legit.
I remember Roost. They used to park outside my old job all the time.
Yeah?
Actually, the guy used to let me... Oh, that's a long story. Long story.
I mean, I kind of want to hear it.
Long story.
We'll save it for when we aren't transitioning from training camp to preseason. Mm-hmm. Speaking of which, now is the time of year where NBA fans are excited. We're about to get fresh games back. Preseason games are already back. Mm-hmm. Because of that, everybody wants to talk to Will to go Gottlieb.
Everybody.
You were recently on our friend Salim's Bulls Gold Pod
shout
with
Salim
and Ed Schuler. Shout out to them.
That
go listen to that, which is up now.
Got to get Salim on the show at some point.
Have to, dude. Salim,
absolutely.
You're on deck, baby.
Come on through, dream.
And Nate Duncan, who now is the host of the Dunked on Prime podcast.
Yes.
You were a guest of his on his latest episode, which some of them are like behind a paywall. This one is available to all?
Yes, it's available to all.
Come on. Go.
There you go.
Hey, Joey.
Go listen to Will the Goat's appearances on those two other NBA pods in the last couple of days.
Quaffing and goating all day.
The goat and the goatee over here.
The goat and the goatee.
That's right, baby.
Pretty good. I like that. Well done.
One much better than the other.
Put that in a basketball reference.
Hey.
We all sat and watched the Bulls preseason opener against the Bucks on Sunday. Some good, some bad, some second half garbage time minutes. But we wanted to talk a little bit more on today's show about some of the things that we saw and liked offensively from the Bulls, especially in that first quarter, into the second quarter, that were different, that we didn't see as much. Notably, and shout out to our pal Stefan Noh, who's doing great stuff for Sporting News. He wrote a piece that was highlighting the different ways that the Bulls were using off-ball screens in that first half against Milwaukee. And, Will, I'm curious to get your thoughts on the usage of DeMar and some of the guards as screeners to open up some more of those three-point looks that we saw on Sunday.
That's the name of the game this year, and I think that it absolutely needs to be. We've been talking all summer about got to get some more ball movement, can't rely on DeMar so much, and not just this summer. I mean, all of last year and the summer before that. So it's good to see it actually on the court and not just us talking about it in theory and, like, how it might look and what are the trade-offs of, you know, you take the ball out of DeMar's hand, what's he going to do if he's not on the ball? Is he going to stand in the corner? Is somebody going to guard him out there? What does that do to the rest of the lane? So a lot of questions, but we saw for the first 7 or 8 minutes of that Milwaukee Bucks game, offense looking like exactly what I would have hoped it looked like. Mm-hmm. A lot of off-ball screening, a lot of playing off of Vooch and like running second side pick and rolls and things like that. I mean, it just looked like there was the attention to trying to do more of this stuff, the attention to detail on it, and the commitment to giving it a real go was there. And it was only 7 minutes. Mm-hmm. It was only one game in the first quarter of a preseason game in October. But I think that's like, I don't think anybody's like really caring about wins and losses right now. They mentioned that multiple times. I don't think anybody really cares about whether the ball goes in or not. But like Zach at practice today, he was like, we looked up in the first quarter and we had like 11 threes. And it was like, this is more than we take in a half sometimes.
Yes,
yeah.
Correct, and it was, I think, a breath of fresh air for them. He said they're still going to get into isolation stuff. That's what he and DeMar do best. And I think there's a time and place for that. But there's also a time and a place for them to look for other stuff first and to get into some more off-ball stuff. And it looks like they're buying into that, which is huge.
Yeah, it felt like a comfort, you know what I'm saying, with those guys in that first quarter. Like, when it's working and it's going, everything feels good. But what I liked was the shots still weren't falling in the beginning. Mm-hmm. They weren't. They just weren't. But the shots were great. Mm-hmm. Like, those are really great shots that they were taking. So I like the fact they continued and didn't just fall back, you know, into the old stuff. They did later on, definitely.
Yeah.
They got a little stagnant later on. But in that first quarter, they just continued to pound it and go with it. And I love the fact that as soon as the ball went in on the opposing team, they inbounded the ball and they were gone. Every single time. They were down the floor. We're running our offense. We're trying to outrun you guys and do it like that. But I wanted to ask you, Will, is there a concern for you with them focusing so much on the offense that it might take away defensively for the team?
I think that is one of the big questions that I have. And I don't think we'll get a good answer to it until we're like 10, 15 games into the season and we have like a decent sample. Because like we've said, just playing a couple of minutes per quarter in the first half of a preseason game is not really going to tell us much. But to me, it's less about like the focus on the offensive end and like a lack of focus, therefore, on the defensive end. I think they're still going to be very focused on that end, on the defensive end. But to me, it's more just like, okay, if you took a lot of mid-range isolation twos last year and DeMar makes them at a 50% clip, that means one out of every two shots, the defense is taking the ball out from underneath the basket and walking it up against mm-hmm. your set defense. Mm-hmm. And that's not a lot of transition opportunities. And that, I think, allowed the Bulls to be great in a lot of ways defensively last mm-hmm. year. So if now they're going to be taking more threes, what does that mean as far as the other team taking the ball out from under the basket? Are they now getting long rebounds and running in transition? Mm-hmm. Can the Bulls defend in transition? Can they get set and play their style of defense that was so successful last year if they're trying to win a foot race getting back on the other end?
And that was a concern of mine watching that game on Sunday, mm-hmm. at least the first half when it was actually like the Bulls' real rotation guys were out and there and trying. Is like I saw at least four, maybe six examples of the Bulls transition defense mm-hmm. being totally like subpar.
Yeah. And transition defense is probably
that's how the Bucks made a run to get back into the game.
It's like probably the hardest thing to do well in the NBA. So that's always going to be a struggle. But if you're now giving teams more chances to do that, that's where things could get a little iffy as Shirtless Wonder's throwing some some merch out there.
Yes, sir. Oh, my God. Look at all those CHGO shirts.
Yo, Lawrence, come see this. Come see Shirtless Wonder.
Wow.
He's got,
wow.
This
he's
is
got
just like the greatest.
He's got the black CHGO script. He's got a Hawk shirt. He's got the Red Bull CHGO script. Yes.
He's not finished. Yes. He's not finished. He's there's got another more. One. Oh, my God.
That's why he's the GOAT.
Go the there, GOAT. Joe.
That's why he's
Joe.
The GOAT.
There you go.
Yes, sir.
Take that picture. This is amazing. God, he's sat out, guys, about that. Six shirts.
Yeah.
Look at him, man. Seven shirts.
He's hanging seven different CHGO shirts off his balcony right now.
He just hung
that's
outside.
That's our guy.
That is our guy.
I right love there. How many shirts the Shirtless Wonder just proved that he owns and is wearing none of
and
them.
And he's able to hang them because he's not wearing them.
Dude. That's right. So they are clean and crispy and ready to go because he's not putting one on.
Oh, you my God. Correct, sir. Did you get a pic of that, Joe?
Yes.
Oh, that is going on social.
We need to sidebar pic that beautiful balcony with this clip of us talking about it.
This is amazing.
Put it out in the universe.
You put in the comments, send hanger stat.
This is amazing.
Our friend Parge just poured to the comments saying from wonder to supporter. That's
correct,
right.
Correct, man. And you all can do the same. You all can do the same. Make sure
what
you support
a legendary,
this.
What a legendary moment.
Move across the alley.
That could have been on any CHGO show, and we got it on ours.
We got it on
that shirt right. on the far right.
So glorious.
That CHGO Bulls script.
There it is.
You know it.
I see it. Look at it.
One of one.
Wow, this is amazing. I need him to take them down for they.
I was going to say, I don't want him to blow.
Yeah, a little breezy.
A little windy, bud.
Yeah, he getting them. He's
in the comments again.
Okay, he on it.
Before the Commanders game, it was 10 times easier to get seven shirts out of the CHGO locker than Drew Bear's putting up seven on the scoreboard.
Fair point.
Yeah, fair but how point. About that 40 burger on
hey,
Thursday, Kev?
Justin Fields.
How about them Bears?
Eight touchdowns, two games. Ah.
You know who didn't look that good last night?
Oh, who was this, Matthew?
Jordan Love.
He sure did not.
Love stinks. Yeah, yeah.
Love hurts. Love scars.
Oh.
Beautiful.
Barra saying, great subplot in CHGO Bulls. Yeah, that's a tangent. Sorry for any of you non-Bears fans out there. But
yeah, yeah.
I mean, come on, get on board. You're a Bulls fan, become a Bears fan.
Apologize, man.
apologize. All right, guys, so getting back on track.
Okay.
What, like, is there something else as we look ahead? We got Nuggets on deck Thursday, preseason game number two. Do you want to see more of the same as far as what we saw Kobe doing? We'll talk more about Kobe in our second segment. Sort of orchestrating that Bulls offense, getting opportunities in transition, getting some more of those threes. Is there something you didn't see, Will, on Sunday that you want to see Thursday?
From Kobe specifically? Or
from the Bulls starting units, half-court offense, which is, you know, unless we see otherwise, going to be run by Kobe White again.
Yeah. I think I just want to see the progression of what we saw. Like, I think the foundation was there in those moments. To your point, Dave, like, things did kind of stagnate in that second quarter. I think, like, the ball stopped going in a little bit, and then they started to get back, I think, a little bit more to their isolation ways. And I think, you know, like I said, it's just a couple of minutes and a couple of quarters of the first half of a preseason game. But, like, will they stick with it even if it's not working out for them? I think that's really what I want to see, because what we saw, even they missed the first handful of shots in that game, but they stuck with it, and they ended up getting a ton of really good shots. Mm-hmm. And, like, DeMar shot a couple of threes. Maybe he doesn't always make those. But the way that, you know, Zach cutting in situations where he and Kobe were screening for each other got Kobe an open three, like, that's what I want to see more of. And I liked the way that they were running some stuff through Vooch. They would have, you know, Kobe bring it up, enter to Vooch, and then Kobe would go set a screen for Zach on the wing, and somebody would, you know, make a cut and try to get open. Some good pocket passes from Zach to get the ball into the middle from Vooch. Like, it's just all this stuff that needs to accumulate. And I think when you just don't know who's going to be the one taking the shot at the end of a shot clock, like, it's just, it forces the defense to have to work so much harder.
And also, that I think that's part of the progression of the point guardsmanship of Kobe White. Because I think when a team gets stagnant like that, you look to your point guard to get you back on track and to say, okay, guys, look, this is the play we're running. This is what we're going to do. We're going to get it back on track right here. And you run that play, and then you go forward with that. That's the point guardsmanship that Kobe White is going to have to evolve into and get, you know, from his team. And it comes with a little more, you know, leadership role. You know what I'm saying? A little more guys believing in, you know, what he's doing out there as well. So that's just another step, you know what I'm saying, with Kobe White that he'll – I think take this year as well. So we'll see if the team wants to follow him, because as a point guard, whether or not you believe it, he's a leader. You know, I'm not saying, you know, he's the number one leader or number two leader or whatever, but he's a leader of the team because he has the ball in his hands all the time. So you have to roll with what he's doing. So he has to calm everything down at certain points in the game and say, okay, guys, relax. I got it. Let's do it like this and run it and get it to DeMar, or get it to Zach, or get it to Vooch.
Our guy Mark K in the comments, keeping Bulls fans grounded as always. Bless his heart. Looking forward to seeing them playing a real team with actual players before getting too excited about anything.
Okay, so can I respond to that? Because a lot of people had that same response every time because I tweeted anything.
No Giannis, no Middleton.
No Giannis, no Middleton, no Dame. I get it. Like, I don't think any of this is about the results right now. It's about how does it look, and how does it look against teams that are not your own team in practice, right? Like, I don't think – I'm not saying this is what they're going to be like. This is, like, how things are going to end up, and it's all going to be hunky-dory. But, like, if they're working on stuff and it's happening on the court, I don't care who it's against. Like, I want to see that look good.
Yeah.
And whether the ball goes in or not, like, the process has to be there. So even if it's against a nothing team or a third string, if your starters are committed to playing – the style of play that I think we all agree they need to. Let's see it. I don't care who it's against.
No, I agree, because even if when they're doing wrong, the people don't change the criticism. You don't say, well, you know, it was against a bad team, so, you know, maybe that's why it happened. No, you criticize them for what they did incorrectly.
Absolutely.
So if you're going to criticize them for what they did correctly against that kind of team, you have to praise them for what they did right at the same way.
AJ in the comments said, Mark K and Will are like the devil and angel on my shoulders.
Mark K is an angel.
Anthony, meanwhile, is saying, I think Mark K is saying they'll play this way for preseason. Then when it matters, go back to how they've played the last 2 or 3 years. Well,
devil and devil.
Yikes. the other thing that Anthony said in the comments a bit earlier that I wanted to touch on is he thinks Billy's going to start Javon Carter and Torrey Craig in the next game and see how they play
with
the Bulls' big three.
I agree.
Now, look, I loved what we saw from Kobe.
Oh, yeah.
In that first preseason game on Sunday.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
I think, Will, you mentioned in your column, and I thought about it for a second. I was like, you know what? I think I agree with Will. He was the Bulls' best player in that game.
Yeah.
Like, he played better than Zach. He played better than DeMar. He played better. He was their best player. He had 14, 6, and 6 in, yes, like 21 minutes or whatever.
Yeah, he's the one that stood out the most.
I am now more so convinced than I was prior that Kobe White can be this team's starting point guard out of the gate, as opposed to just like, well, I honestly don't know, and maybe Javon Carter is the better option. I still think I want to see what it looks like with Javon in that starting five, and maybe if you want to throw Torrey Craig in there too, sure. We'll see if Billy does that or not. Like, were there any questions? Did you guys get to talk to Billy after practice today?
We did. He's still being very coy about who will end up being the starter, but, I mean, all indications are Kobe's got that role right now.
Right.
He kind of said, you know, I asked him about, like, the all-bench unit and whether that's something that he was going to continue on with, or would he go back to what he was kind of working on last year, which is staggering DeMar or Zach in with those groups. And he's like, you know, that's probably, like, what we've done in the past, and I think, you know, there's a good argument to be made to continue on with that. But, like, we've got 10 guys. Am I opposed to giving it a run to see what it looks like with just the all-bench unit? No. So I think we might see a little bit more of that. We did see Io with the main group for a little bit. I think it was in the second quarter.
It was,
Yeah, it was.
So I agree, though. I want to see Javon. But actually, this was one of the things that Nate and I talked about yesterday on Dunked On, which was I think we all can agree that the Javon thing makes a lot of sense because we know it worked with Patrick Beverley and they're similar players, right? Like, he gives you the offense defense.
Sure.
He can shoot, he can space, he can run in transition, he can defend, he can get steals and all that stuff. And I think that's all true. But in the same way that, like, Patrick leveling up offensively could be the one thing that needs to happen to get the Bulls to level up, I think you can make that case for Kobe too. And so what Nate was saying, and I think it's a good point, is like, maybe just give it a shot with Kobe. See if now, like, you've got another really high-level shooter on the floor, you've got somebody who can drive and kick, who can get into the paint, who can draw fouls. Maybe, like, the offense just starts to look really good with that group, and then that can, like, take your team in another direction. And if it doesn't work, you've still got Javon. You know that can kind of be there in your back pocket. So I think there's utility in letting Kobe take the reins a little bit here, but I also think, like, the safer bet is Javon, and if things start to not work, or if, like, the all bench unit had zero shot creation.
Ooh,
like, you kind of want Kobe or Vooch or Zach or DeMar in that unit to try to get something.
Correct.
So maybe in the regular season that kind of thing changes. But those lineups with Kobe, Zach, DeMar, and Vooch last year were really good.
Yeah,
they scored the ball at a really high level. I think with Caruso, they had 131.9 offensive rating. So that's, I mean, that's insane.
Yeah.
So I like the idea of just seeing what can happen if you really try to turbocharge your offense that way.
I think I was the one that said start Kobe, but, you know.
Our guy officially commented that I think Kobe's taking the start and running with it. Demond, shout out, saying, I thought I would never hear myself say this, but Kobe is becoming a complete player. I mean, they brought him back on that new contract for a reason, because a lot of it, right before we started, we were talking about how coming in around this time last year, we were all saying most likely trade candidate for the Bulls this season, midseason, Kobe White. You know, with the way that Io played his rookie year, the fact that, yeah, you might not have Lonzo, but you got these vets coming in. Kobe seemed odd man out. Fast forward to now, and
like,
looks to be very important.
Yes.
All right, let's take our first break. We'll come back on the other side. Keep talking about Kobe White and his role as this team's potential starting point guard out of the gate. Some high praise came from his head coach, Billy Donovan, after their game on Sunday. And then after today's practice, Kobe had some interesting thoughts of his own about becoming more of a vocal leader of this team. That is on deck. While we're sharing these words from our friends and sponsors, you know what to do. Hit the thumbs up button. If you're watching along on YouTube, make sure you're subscribed. Help us get to that 40K mark that we are rapidly approaching. And like our friend, the Shirtless Wonder, head to the CHGO merch locker while we're reading some ads. Do some shopping there.
Clickety-clack.
And then do some shopping with these sponsors of ours. One of which is our friends at Ray Chevy.
Segway.
Are you in the market for a new or used vehicle? If you are, we've got great news for you, because Ray Chevy in Fox Lake has just joined the CHGO team. We've been talking to the team at Ray, and they have this pledge called the Ray Price Promise. It's a guarantee that the price you see online is the price you will pay when you go into the dealership. In a lot of cases, you might have found when you're car hunting, car shopping at other dealerships, they'll raise the price on you when you actually go to the dealership compared to the one that you saw on their website. And they'll be like, oh, well, that price is for active military members, or that price is for farmers, or that price is for recent college grads, or that price is for fish people. And you'd be like, oh, are you not a fish person? And I'm like, no, I'm a person. Well, I'm sorry, you can't get that price. It's ridiculous. But with the Ray Price Promise, the price you see on their website is the price you will pay when you go to the dealership. Mm-hmm. And sometimes it might even be a lower one because they will try everything they can to find you even more savings once you go to the dealership. As one of the top-selling dealers in the Midwest, you'll always be able to shop one of Chicagoland's largest inventories. And right now, you can save big at Ray Chevy during their Truck or Treat Savings event. You hear that, Dave?
Yes.
Truck or treat.
Truck or treat.
Who needs tricks? Let me get some trucks.
Trucks.
Because 0% is back and now available on new Silverado trucks. Yes. The perfect tailgating vehicle all of you Bears fans out there. CHGO Bears tailgate on deck this Sunday before Bears Vikes. So come on in to Ray Chevrolet in Fox Lake. Find the vehicle you have been searching for. Mm. And best of all, pay zero hidden fees with that Ray Price Promise. Visit Ray Chevrolet in Fox Lake or RayChevrolet.com. Serving the community since 1963. Find new roads.
Ooh, silky smooth how you hit that right there. I like that.
Thanks, buddy.
Falco!
Falco!
Dang it. Get fitted out in the best sports gear around. Where you do that at? One place. Hoodies, shoes, signs, bobbleheads, and everything in betwixt. It's baseball season and almost basketball season, and it's football season going on. 4-1 in my fantasy team, baby. What's up? Thank you, man.
Well done.
I'm proud of that. Pretty proud. Yes. Aloha shirts, straw hats, polos, bags, everything you're going to need for the game to enjoy these playoffs, y'all. You need it. Go to FOCO. And, of course, check us behind us. The set decorationes. I don't know if that's a word, but Will will tell me. Hey, Lawrence, how are you? You look amazing. Hey, say decorations in Spanish.
Decoraciones.
Oh, I was close. Decoraciones. I was close.
Tomato.
I was close. I don't speak Spanish. It's all right. It's a woozy. It's a wazzy. It's fine. FOCO has donated a few awesome pieces to those sets, so show them some love because they showed us some love, y'all. Check out FOCO.com or click the link in the description below for all non-pre-sale items. Use the promo code CHGO for 10% off because it's FOCO for show.
All right, y'all, moving right along on today's topics. A little bit more about Coby White. Billy Donovan, after their game against the Bucks on Sunday, was talking about Coby in this role, potentially as a starting point guard. And he had a couple of quotes that I thought were interesting on Coby, as we've talked about his ability to be more than just an off-ball guard, but can he do a better job with his court vision and facilitating than his first stint that he was offered the point guard job in year two of his Bulls career. Mm-hmm. Billy said he sees the bigger picture of the game and it's probably slowed down for him. I think getting us in and out of stuff, he's done a good job of that. Mm. Billy continued, I think there's things he can still get better at. I didn't feel like his rookie year he progressed seeing the game that way. What I mean by that is, who just made a shot? Who's got the hot hand? Who hasn't touched the ball in a couple of possessions? Who do we need to get involved? Mm-hmm. Are we getting stagnant? Do we need ball movement? Who do we need to go to? Those things, he's further along. He can still get better, but he's further along. Encouraging words, I thought, from Billy on Coby White, Will.
Yeah, I mean, it's less like responding to what's happening in front of you and more like, can you command the game yourself? Mm. Can you be the one that's making the defense dictate, where you're dictating the defense, excuse me. And I think he's not there with the point guardsmanship skills.
Yes, sir.
But he is getting there. I think he's improved in a lot of ways. I don't think he's going to become like a table setter point guard. And I don't think the Bulls really want him to be that necessarily. They need him to develop some of those skills. But, I mean, just getting the ball into Vooch to be able to like set up the offense, and then making a hard cut to go screen for Zach or something, and like opening up a shot or a cut from somebody else. Like that's the kind of stuff that I think differentiates his skill set from Io or from Javon, and I think has an opportunity to earn himself some minutes through that kind of play. So he's definitely gotten a lot better. Just listening to him and hearing him talk about the maturity and like understanding the game more and feeling like his teammates trust him more and feeling like he has a voice and that people respect and want to hear what he has to say in certain moments, and the ability to hold people accountable. It just seems like he's really grown up a lot. And I think you can see that both in the way that he plays, the skills that he's developed, but also just like the way that he kind of carries himself and his teammates respond to him. It just seems like he's really developed and grown up in that sense.
You know, my favorite play of that game that Kobe did that let me know that his development as a point guard was going along really nicely. He gets the ball. I can't remember if it was a 2-on-1 or a 2-on-2, but he gets the ball. He's got Zach on the wing. Zach is pointing up saying, you know, toss me the lob. And Kobe surveys it and says, no, I think the better option is me going to the bucket. And he makes that decision immediately, goes to the bucket, puts up a nice layup, you know, and puts it in. In the past, Kobe would have thrown that pass, you know what I'm saying? And I don't know if it would have made it there because somebody was watching Zach. Or he might have pulled it out, you know what I'm saying, and done something differently and then tried to go and might have turned it over. But it was the immediate decision when your best player is calling for the basketball and you're like, chill out, dude. I got it. Don't even worry about it. And I'm going to go score.
If you're a point guard,
that's point guardsmanship to me.
If you're a point guard, you have to be able to tell guys no.
Exactly.
If you're just doing whatever the scoring guard is telling you,
right?
That's not it. That's how the scoring guard gets a lot of points, but that's not how your team generates a lot of good offense. And I think there's, I guess going back to my point earlier, like there's a difference between me saying, I think they're going to be really good now because they looked better in the first quarter of a preseason game. There's a difference between that and saying they seem to be like prioritizing the right things. And I think when you've got a guy like Kobe who's developing into that role, he can be the one that's helping hold the rest of the team accountable to playing a certain way to where maybe you do improve your offense. I'm not saying it's like guaranteed to happen or that the Bulls have like just in because they've made their mind up in theory that it's going to now translate from them going from 24th in offense to 10th. I don't think that's going to happen necessarily, but I think it's a good sign that they're doing the right things.
Yeah, yeah, very true.
And Kobe's a big piece of that.
No, a huge piece. And again, like he gives you something else in that starting lineup offensively that you're not going to get, you know what I'm saying, from Javon Carter. And I don't mean that disrespectfully, but just something you're not going to get. I'm talking about the penetration and getting to the lane because that's what Billy talked about, what they want to do. They want to get inside more. And we saw the advantage of that when Kobe was doing that, getting inside, the defense collapsing, and him still being able to kick it out to guys like Zach. Zach missed a couple of those threes, you know, but they were great shots. They were wide open. When he kicked it over to DeMar, he was wide open, you know, for that shot. So Kobe's ability to do that is what is going to help him, you know, move forward and continue to maybe be the starting point guard for this team, man, because that point guardsmanship isn't a thing that everybody has to follow a certain way. Everybody doesn't have to be John Stockton or Isaiah Thomas or Alonzo Ball or Jason Kidd or Magic Johnson. You just have to be you. And it's about reading what's going on the floor and making the right decision in your mind. Magic might not have made that same decision on that 2-1-2 that Kobe made. Mm-hmm. And it would have been the right decision, you know? But Kobe made the decision that he thought was correct, and it was the correct decision, man. So it's about just making that decision right then and there and then going with it, and then not apologizing for it. That's what the point guardsmanship is. That's what a leader is. Making a decision, this is what it is, whatever. We're just going to deal with the consequences.
I, for the record, I really don't like that your first two examples were Stockton and Isaiah. Let me just say that.
Well, you know I love Isaiah. I'm not going to apologize.
I know you do.
I'll give you Stockton.
But Stockton out of the gate?
I'm not going to apologize for Isaiah. I'll give you Stockton.
That's psycho fine. Trash, butthurt trash. Two great point guards, psycho trash, butthurt trash.
Jason Kidd, can I get Jason Kidd?
Sure.
Okay, thank you.
All right. Not my coach, not my problem.
John's
shout out
not
to
here.
Our guy, John Samar.
He's not here.
Joe, do you have that clip from Kobe today after practice that I sent you that Will got? Because I really want to play that. I thought it was really interesting stuff that he was saying about with his role on the court, but also vocally as a leader of this team.
growing to it, I think. It started last year. You kind of, as being a young guy, like last year, like I'm only 23 and last year I was 22, kind of like you fall into this thing of like, well, I'm young, you know, especially on a team full of, like our team that's full of guys older that have won, that's been in the playoffs a bunch of times, AC's being a champion, you know, like guys like playing with guys like that. It's kind of like you kind of get that mindset of like, well, you know, they have more experience than me. They know more than me, or, you know, my opinion doesn't matter, my voice doesn't matter. But I feel like last year I didn't really know the type of, like, you know, how much guys like respected my opinion until last year. And my connection with every guy on the team. And so, like, it kind of started last year, and then it's just carried it more even – I'm my fault, bro. It's carried more even this year. So I'm just continuing to grow into it, continuing to get better at it. And it's starting to – it really feels natural for me, you know, at this point.
I like that. I really like that from Kobe. And it totally checks out, because when we heard from Billy and some of Kobe's teammates down in Nashville, Will – a couple of, you know, quotes I saw, a couple of clips I saw you post, Kobe's name got thrown out a lot as a guy who was being very vocal in those training camp practices. And if you're talking about the guy who's going to be taking that role of this team starting point guard out of the gate, you want that. Yeah. So to hear Kobe say, I kind of didn't up until recently feel like I had the, you know, the legs to stand on as far as being one of the vocal leaders of this team, because Caruso, a champion, is here. DeMar, you know, a well-respected, longtime NBA vet who's gone to the playoffs a zillion times, is here. But no, I was a bit surprised to see other people turning to me to hear my voice.
Yeah.
And now I'm acknowledging that.
Yeah, yeah. Like, that has to be a thing for somebody who honestly has kind of gone on a roller coaster since his time here with the Bulls.
Yeah.
Know? He's been on the bench.
Many different roles.
Yes. Been on the bench, been a starter, been a two guard, you know, been a point guard. Like, he's been through a lot with this team, but his mindset has never wavered about what he wanted to be. He was an I win starter. He continued to say that. I am a starter. I'm a starting point guard in this league. He continued to say that, and whether people believed it or not, it didn't matter, because he believed it. Now, the work needs to be put in for that, for whatever you're thinking needs to come to fruition like that, and that's what he's done. We've seen him put that work in, and we've seen him grow. And now we're seeing the results of it, man. And it just looks right. You know what I mean? Like, it just feels like it's fitting correctly for this team, man. Like, I just really enjoy his growth and what I'm seeing from him. And, of course, we're talking about the other little things that he needs to improve and just grow upon, of course. But he's improved upon a bunch of major things that a lot of people thought that he couldn't do.
And I think of Patrick when I hear that quote, too, talking about, like, you know, I'm playing on a team with guys that have won the championship, guys that have had deep playoff runs, guys that are all-stars and more successful than me, and not to mention, like, way more experienced and older. Like, why should I come in and, like, start being a loud voice in the room when they have all the experience and I don't? And so I think of Patrick in that sense, too, and just, like, the younger guys that maybe haven't really been able to establish themselves on this team because – they are not super dominant personalities. And I think it's unfortunate that they didn't feel more comfortable doing that. And I don't know, I haven't talked to Patrick about this. Maybe he's starting to feel that same way too, or maybe he never did. But it's interesting to kind of hear how that dynamic where he really, like, looks up to DeMar and to Zach. And, like, I can understand why he wouldn't have in the past wanted to say, like, no, you're doing this wrong. Right. This is not helping us win.
Can I ask you, I want to ask you this. Do you think it's something to the Kobe and Pat dynamic in the starting lineup because, you know, of how close they are? I'm talking about, you know, just them evolving together, you know, and growing together as players. Do you think it's something to that, or maybe just reading a little too much into it?
I mean, there's always chemistry with the guys that you're on the court with. And, you know, those guys are super close. They obviously have, like, great off-court chemistry. In the past, I have wondered, like, whether they make each other better on the court based on their skill set. But I think, like, Kobe developing into a more competent point guard who can set guys up makes me feel more confident that he can help Patrick develop. So I think there's a trust there. There's a friendship there. There's a chemistry there. But, like, on the court, does that translate to these two guys making themselves better? I'm not sure. I want to see more of it. And I think there's obviously going to be opportunity for that. They've both been in the starting lineup together. So I like it. And I think, you know, it's like it's this intangible off the court stuff that they keep talking about that, you know, I don't know whether I buy it or not, but they keep saying like we've been like just, you know, going into the players lounge and like playing Madden together or just like hanging out after eating a meal and just like not going home to your family, but instead just like hanging out all together in a room and like talking through stuff, having, you know, fun team events to go to. Like they really believe that that's helping them. And like I said, I'm not sure if it does or not, but like they feel good about it. And I think that's the kind of thing that can, if it works, like help them build that cohesion that they kind of need.
Eco Bean in the comments saying Kobe's always been that dude. He had to grow up and realize his worth. Our guy AK saying with the contract signing and hard work, Kobe has settled in and feels at home. And I think that that's something also that Bulls fans should like keep in mind when we talk about Kobe and the perhaps bigger role he is going to be taking on this team out of the gate this season, is that people talked a lot about the value contracts of our two free agent signings, Javon Carter and Torrey Craig, and they were value contracts. Sure. Kobe White's contract could, if he continues to improve his game from what we saw him do last season, as he heard himself mention in there, he's like, I'm still only 23 years old. Like, Kobe can still, I think, get so much better.
Sure.
If he continues to take significant improvement steps in his game over the next few years and the Bulls keep him in Chicago, $11 million, $12 million, $12.8 million over the next 3 years of that new deal he just signed.
It's a deal, man.
That could end up being a massively team-friendly deal if Kobe continues on this trajectory.
Very true. Very true. So, and I love the fact that you mentioned those kind of deals, because even the signing of Javon Carter, Torrey Craig, the value is so high because those guys could be starters, you know, on the team. And not just starters, guys who truly help you. We saw Torrey Craig out there. And like I said, I'm in 3 minutes, you know, I immediately was like,
I love, yes. I love Torrey Craig.
Yeah.
One preseason game, I love Torrey Craig.
Like, this is the dude, like right here. Yes, man, absolutely. So when it gives you a safety valve for when Billy has to take Patrick out, if he's having a bad game, if he's not being consistent and not being aggressive, you're not even mad anymore. You're like, okay, all right, fine. Torrey, I got you. You know what I mean? Come in, get your minutes in.
You pooped in the refrigerator.
I'm not even mad. It's amazing. A whole wheel of cheese?
Couldn't help myself.
But you're not upset. You know, you're not upset anymore, man. And even with a guy like Javon Carter, just giving you more depth, you know, at that position and another option at that position. And that's what's so interesting about this is now they have, like, option lineups they can just put out there on teams. Like, who are you guys putting out there? I don't have to put out the same five and then hope.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Like, no, man, like, I could put out – I could match up with you, or I could say, let me play to my strengths, you know what I'm saying, and go like this. And getting guys like Carter and getting guys like Torrey Craig and re-signing Kobe White gives you that ability, man. So, yeah, it should be really interesting.
I believe it was Eversley who said in that 670 interview from a couple weeks back when they were talking about the point guard position in particular, but then also just like the depth of his team, Mark Eversley said it's a good problem to have. If you're talking about Billy needing to make some decisions about this rotation throughout these preseason, you know, test games,
yeah,
good problem to have. Which is why, again, good praise heaped on Kobe White by his coach, his teammates in training camp after their preseason debut, and by us here on the show today.
Yeah.
Would not hate it if we see Javon in that starting five on Thursday.
Just, I mean, why
just
not?
To see.
It's preseason,
just to
bro.
See.
Check it out.
Let's take our second break, then we'll come back, dive into a couple more tidbits we wanted to get to. ESPN's top 100 NBA player rankings came out, the top half of it today. Vooch's name was in there. We'll discuss where. Also, the NBA GM survey done by NBA.com also dropped today. The Bulls just coming in first place across the board. Not so much. That's coming up on the other side. Hit that thumbs up button if you're watching on YouTube and didn't do it the first time around during our ad reads. Today's show brought to you in part by our friends at Sunnyside Cannabis Dispensary. Your home for judgment-free cannabis shopping this football season, a place where all kinds of visitors are welcome to explore, discover, and purchase a wide array of their high-quality products. Sunnyside has everything you need to elevate your football season. How much higher can Bears fans elevate after that 40-point Drubbing.
I know you were floating.
Of, oh, my God. I acknowledge that team is still 1-4
of course,
after that.
Of course.
I loved it. I needed it.
Yes, we all did.
As Kevin would say, it's just nice to win one.
It's just nice to win one.
I was in such a good mood Thursday night, all the way through the weekend.
Oh, good mood pick.
Part of it was the Bears.
Sure.
Part of it was Sunnyside.
Sure.
You know I'm always making sure I get my Sunnyside shopping done.
That's how you roll.
Where do I get it done?
Where?
Online. Nice. Order online, pick up in store. Mm-hmm. Easiest way to shop. Wherever you are, all those wonderful Sunnyside locations, do your online ordering at sunnyside.shop, then go pick up in store. They've got flower, they've got tinctures, vapes, all that jazz, and of course, a huge selection of different edibles from different brands. Y'all know my favorite. It's the Good News orange-flavored gummies.
Gummies!
Now through October 15th, head to sunnyside.shop, use that promo code CHGO25 at checkout for 25% off your total order. One use per customer, and you can't stack it with other coupons, but it's not just for first-time customers. Anyone shopping at Sunnyside can use that promo code of ours, CHGO25, at checkout to get 25% off their order. Pick up everything you need to elevate your football season at sunnyside.shop. Must be 21 and over or an Illinois Med card holder.
Mm. I want to recognize two things before I go into this ad.
Okay.
One. In your ad, when you were talking about, are you a fish person? Mm-hmm. You don't get this deal. And right. Then Fish said, I'm a fish person. It was awesome. That
shout
was brilliant.
Out fish. Shout out that's to him. Our guy. I'm a fish person.
And shout out, and then Dre's asking the question, where can I get myself a CHGO shirt? Because I need one. Matt Peck, please tell him where he gets the shirt.
CHGOlager.com.
Mm-hmm.
Hello, isn't hello.
Pronounced Alaha.
Alaha.
I mean, sign up to become a diehard while you're at it.
Yeah,
why not? You're going to order a shirt anyway. Get the first one free by becoming a diehard. And then every time you shop at the merch locker, you get 20% off. Hello. You got a base.
Now, the other thing that keeps this man happy besides Sunnyside, beer right there. You see it. And the beer he drinks is the Goose Island Beer Company. They down with us, so we down with them. It's been Chicago's beer since the Jordan year, 1988, y'all. And, yes, they have so many beers, so awesome beers. They got the Beer Hug family. They got the 312 Wheat Ale. They got the Matt and Dave big favorite, the Full Pocket Pilsner. And, of course, since the weather is changing and the leaves are falling and it's getting a little crispy outside, but I'm still in the hoodie and shorts and Matt is still in the Burks and Shirtless Wonder is still Shirtless Wonder, it's Oktoberfest time!
Woo!
Woo! Yes!
Best month of the year!
Give it to me! Give it some Oktoberfest! Joey, can you hit the horn for me one time? Because I'm feeling good right now, sir.
Quack, quack.
I'm sorry, Will. It's just so funny to me.
Oh, it's amazing, y'all. The Goose Island Beer Company. So why don't you get some of these delicious beers, man? Grab yourself an ultra-fresh exclusive beer at the Goose Island Original Brew House on Clybourne Avenue in Lincoln Park or from the Tap Room on Fulton Street in West Town. It's the Goose Island Beer Company, Chicago's beer, the true taste of Chicago. Hit me one more time, Joseph Spathis.
Quack, quack.
Oh, love it. All right, moving along. ESPN's top 100 NBA players rankings. Top half of it came out earlier today.
Okay.
Nikola Vucevic, first Bulls name that we recognize as we're counting our way down. He came in at number 75, gentlemen, which they, as they're listing him, tell you where that player ranked last year.
Mm-hmm.
I was like, ooh, ouch. So it's like 75, okay, maybe a little disrespectful. Last year he was 57.
I was about to say, yeah.
So he dropped almost 20 spots between last season and this season, despite the fact that he started all 82 games last year, finished, what, I think third in the NBA in double-doubles, and was a defensive rebounding percentage elite big man. For a team that finished top five in the NBA in defense.
Yeah.
And also had his nights where he was giving you 20-plus points.
Yeah.
But just because he's a 30-blank instead of 30-blank, we got to drop him 20 spots.
Yeah, let's not forget, put up the same exact numbers from the year prior as well, 17-11 as well. I mean, you know. Is it?
I mean, Dave, I'm going to rattle off a couple other big men who were ranked close to Vooch, but ahead of Vooch.
Oh, this is going to piss me off.
You let me know if any of these names
this
piss you off.
This is going to piss me off. Go ahead.
Chet Holmgren at number 73.
He didn't. Wait, what? Okay.
Hasn't played an NBA
he
game yet.
A second.
I mean, the Holmgren-Wemby preseason action from the other night was fun. But
it was fun, but it's preseason.
Hasn't played an NBA game yet. Oh, Chet Holmgren. At 73, gosh, two spots ahead of Vooch.
That's wild. That's
your boy, wild. Walker Kessler, Texas Ranger.
Oh, my man.
At number 70.
I'm not mad at that.
Had a hell of a rookie.
He had a
year.
Hell of a season, man.
Little sad the Bulls didn't take him last year.
He had a hell of a season.
Brooke Lopez, 69.
Fair.
Proved to the Bulls on Sunday he can still rain threes while being a great defensive anchor.
Dropping them on him.
Miles Turner, 65. Meh. Rudy Gobert, 64. Rudy Gobert's rank plunged after the rough year he had with Minnesota.
Yeah.
So there's just a smattering of other NBA big men who are ranked close to but ahead of Vooch.
It's just Chet. That's it. I get everybody else. I do. I understand it. It's okay. And I'm not saying Chet isn't dope and
even
he won't be able to
incoming
play.
Second year player Walker Kessler. No issues there.
I honestly have no issues. He had a great season.
He did.
Had a great season, man.
Are they saying these will be the rankings after next year or like based on last season, this is – do you see what I'm saying?
It can't, be based. If it was based on last season, then Vooch wouldn't have dropped 20 spots like that.
So it's looking ahead to next year. It's projecting.
It has to be.
And I think if you just look at this list, like there's a lot of good centers that are in the 60s, 70s, 90s. Like I think they're just not really valuing bigs. So Gobert, Miles Turner, Walker Kessler, Mitchell Robinson's in there, Valanciunas.
Mitchell Robinson at number 100.
Yeah, but I'm just saying like I don't think they're really – ranking so centers very high in general.
Voters were asked which player will be better in 2023-2024. Like they had them like rank these players kind of head to head and predict how each player will perform this season. Player versus player from more than 15,000 possible pairings.
Okay, that's different. If you're asking me who will be better, I completely understand the Chet Holmgren being 73 then.
But yeah, I mean, your point about big men, Valanciunas at 99, Mitchell Robinson at 100.
Robert Williams, Kevon Looney. Like
right.
All these.
Like, maybe other than the big three of big men of Embiid, Joker, and Giannis, they're just, you know, more wings and guards being higher ranked in these rankings.
Yeah, they're more valued, you know, around the league. And I always find it hilarious, like the top three of the five plus players in the league, all big dudes. Like, it's the NBA, man. It's a wacky time, ladies and gentlemen. Get ready for the tournament. I can't wait. Let's go. I'm ready, Will.
Yeah, these lists are always tricky. Like Jalen Williams, J-Dub, the OKC Thunder, 95. Like, he was almost rookie of the year last year. I feel like he could be a lot higher.
Yeah.
These things are just,
so,
like just so random. Yeah, Jalen Williams at 95, and then the next two players, moving forward at 94 and 93, Russell Westbrook and Mike Conley.
Oh wow!
Like you know, you got these aging vets who are falling in these rankings, young guys rising quickly at 92. All kinds of names all over the place. We'll see where Zach LaVine and DeMar DeRozan come in on this list.
So obviously they didn't make the bottom half. So
based on my scanning, neither of them listed in the 100 to 51 slots.
I'll accept that.
So at least we're not going to get gross disrespect on Zach and DeMar in these rankings.
What about Zion Williamson? Is Zion Williamson listed?
He was in this 51 to 100 spot. Let me see.
Zion is one of those guys that it's just impossible to rank. They clearly split the difference because he's either a top 20, top 30 player or he's like out of the top 100 because he's not playing.
Because he's not playing, yes.
I feel like guys like that and like Ben Simmons, I think, could find himself moving up a lot higher this year. Mm. I'm still a believer.
Ben Simmons not on the list?
I don't think
so. I did not see Simmons, no. That's
but I just feel like if he plays, he's way too good to be where he is. But there's a pretty good chance he just doesn't play.
But see, that's my issue. Like, if you're going to rank Ben Simmons like that, then you have to rank Zion Williamson like that. Like,
yeah.
You have Like, you have to. This he's unstoppable.
Yeah.
When he's Zion out there. Is. Yeah. Like, that's crazy. Like, no, you can't do it one way for Ben Simmons.
Yeah.
Come on.
You know what I did enjoy seeing on these 100 to 51 ranking, part of the rankings? Because I am just so sick of people talking about it as if it's even remotely true.
Come on, Matt.
People who compare Zach LaVine to Tyler Hero as like, come make, come be, kind of same player. Tyler Herro came in at number 79.
Mm.
Suck on that. Let's see where Zach is. Sure as shit, ain't it 79? Tyler Herro's basically as good as Zach LaVine. Shut your face. Whoever you are saying that, shut your damn face. Oh, I'm sick of it.
Oh, my goodness.
We're like, you know, who'd say no? Like Zach LaVine, Tyler Herro, one for one player swap. I gotta listen to this shit. Zion came in at 57, by the way.
57. Okay. All right. He should be higher. He should be higher. If Ben Simmons is higher, he should
be
higher.
No, I don't think Ben Simmons is on the list.
Mm-mm. You don't think he's on the top 100 at all?
No, I'm just saying, like, Simmons? Those are two guys that.
Right. So.
It's either all or nothing. There's
no. I think if Ben's on the list,
I can't.
I don't know.
Ben is not 100 to 51 anywhere.
Right, right.
There's no way he's in the top 50.
No way?
No.
Okay.
The dude hasn't played since 1985.
Okay. All right. I'm just saying, if Chet is on
But I saw him in an empty gym hitting some corner threes.
That's right.
On the Dunk Central account earlier today. Watch out, NBA world.
He's got a jumper now. He's focused. Did you not notice that? He's more focused. He's ready to get in there.
Is he still afraid to dunk the ball?
That's right. Oh,
he
wasn't terrified.
Last night. He looked good.
See? Even the GOAT says it. And GOAT don't like no practice videos.
This is preseason. That's different. Preseason matters.
Preseason matters. This is true.
Oh,
this
my
is true.
Goodness.
Depends on which team you're talking about.
Speaking of the preseason, man, the Wimby Chet Holmgren game. Did you have a chance to check that out?
I didn't actually see the game live, but I was watching back some of it.
Okay.
Sheesh.
Yeah. A couple of gigantic guys.
Those guys are too skilled to be
splashing threes.
Yeah.
Holmgren had a couple of nice pick and roll lobs.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, there's
they're going at it too. Like some, they're competitors.
Some crazy things.
I liked it. I liked it a lot. I really did, man. I enjoyed that. Remember, Bulls, you're gonna have to see this. First game of the year, man. First game of the year.
Last thing, real quick, another NBA national media scope kind of thing. The NBA general manager survey that comes out every year.
Okay.
Courtesy of NBA.com. Also recently dropped, and everybody's looking through it to say, hey, how is my team represented or not?
Okay.
Lots of questions, you know, who's the best player? Which player would you start building your franchise around if you were starting today? Best scorer, best defensive player, best coaches. Lot of different interesting questions and survey questions. The Bulls, as a team, whether it be teams mentioned or players individually mentioned, made just two appearances across the entire survey.
Okay.
Both appearances were by one person, reigning all-defensive first-team player Alex Caruso. He finished, I believe, tied for third in best perimeter defender category.
Facts.
And then for best overall defender was in the others receiving votes list.
I can see that.
That's it.
That's it.
I think it's always a great reminder of how the national NBA media and fans are looking at the Bulls, which usually is not.
Anybody wants is for this team to blow it up. Mm. I think that's what we're talking about here. So,
but they haven't liked it since the inception, though. Like, since the team even got put together. Because
true,
I remember
I think,
that first year.
I
man,
think there were people that were kind of
talking that shit.
Eating crow after the first however many games.
Oh, and I was
won.
Feeding it to their ass.
We don't need to, like, relitigate this whole thing. But I just think, like, it's... I understand that, like, and with all these, like, articles coming out about, like, who had the worst offseason, give the Bulls a D, like, you just disagree with their approach. You can't, like, knock what they did this offseason. They got two really good players on below market value contracts. Like, I think it's just, like, their goals that you disagree with. But it's hard to really blame the front office for wanting to compete.
Mm-hmm.
I just don't necessarily agree with
how
they're going about it or like what their ultimate ceiling is. So I think that is why the Bulls are not on any of these lists. Like, I don't think anybody on the Bulls deserves to necessarily be on this list. Like, Alex Caruso was an all-defensive player last year. He deserved it, and he showed up where he needed to on this thing. But, like, nobody else really stands out to me on this list of being – of deserving to be somewhere where they weren't.
Yeah. Mm. I think I, for the most part – agree with that. A lot of different categories of questions about coaching in the NBA. Billy Donovan's name didn't show up anywhere. DeMar DeRozan's name, nowhere. Zach LaVine's name, nowhere. underrated offseason additions. Maybe you think, hey, maybe Torrey Craig or Javon Carter will get a vote for you know, that category. Nope. I guess one other thing to point out as far as where the rest of the NBA world sees the Bulls coming into this, this were NBA GMs asking to rank the top teams in each conference, but just 1 through 4.
Okay.
So you could order 1st, 2nd, 3rd, 4th, and, you know, get 4 points for a first place vote, 3 points for second, 2 for 3rd, 1 for 4th. This is how the NBA general managers ranked out the East coming into this season. Boston on top with 53% of the total first place votes awarded.
Okay.
Bucks in second, 43% of the total first place votes rewarded.
Okay.
Cleveland at 3, Philly at 4, Knicks at 5, Heat at 6, Hawks at 7. So New York, Miami, and Atlanta in 5, 6, 7 all received some 3rd and/or 4th smattering place votes. Mm-hmm. The Bulls, nowhere to be seen.
Yeah, don't like them. Haven't liked them for years. It's what it is. And we're going to see. You know, can't wait to see the season, man. That's all. I'm excited to see what the season will bring. ESPN, like I said, ESPN hasn't felt great about the Bulls for years, man. It's been like
that. Also, our guy Rob in the comments said the Bulls might want to make a playoff run if they want people to take them seriously.
Yeah, seriously.
Very valid point.
Extremely valid point. They've done themselves no favors, I mean, in that aspect.
So what has it been now? It's 2015-16 was the last, you know, the last hurrah. And then they started trading guys.
Yeah.
16-17 was the first year of the rebuild. No, that was Alphas.
Yes, that was Alphas. The Alphas.
17-18 was the first rebuild year.
Yes, that was the first one.
So that means for seven years now, mm-hmm. we're talking in a seven-year span, 1 5-game elimination in round one.
Yep.
1 play-in tournament loss.
Yep.
Or play-in tournament exit.
The next year.
And that's it.
There you go.
And a bunch of 7th picks.
Yep. And let's see what you do for year 3. Because remember, what you're saying are back-to-back years. So let's see what happens in year 3, though.
And why did they exit the Alphas? Why did they move on and try to rebuild then? Because they were not happy with being the 8th seed every year.
You know what the good news is, Will? We don't have time for that conversation right now. We are out of time. Thank you, everybody, for tuning in. We will be back tomorrow, same time, same place, in studio, 5 p.m. Central Time. But keep it right here on the CHGO Sports YouTube channel for now. Go get a snack or get your dinner or get yourself a Goose Island. But make sure you come back at 6:30 Central Time because that is when CHGO Blackhawks pregame begins.
Yeah.
Blackhawks puck drop at 7 and then CHGO Blackhawks postgame to follow. Let's do that hockey, baby. Connor Bedard era starts now.
Let's go.
You can follow Will on Twitter for all of his Bulls updates at Will_Gottlieb. Read everything the man writes. See allchgo.com. Big Dave. Bow. BAWL Sports. Bow. I'm Bulls_Peck. Our pal and producer, Joey Spathis. He's at Joey Spathis. We are CHGO_Bulls. One more shout out to our friend and Chicago's true hero, the Shirtless Wonder, flashing the CHGO merch on the balcony today. Appreciate you, buddy.
Yes.
Talk to you tomorrow, Bulls Nation. Until then, hit the thumb on your way out. Click subscribe. See you right, be good.
Jaleel, what up, bro? Peace.
Jaleel.